This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Layla Mutin. I work with Dr. Hoffman now since, October 2005. It's a great ride, and we're keeping going. I welcome your questions, comments, and I thank you for sending me them. Send them to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I love the warm weather. I am a certified beach bum. I love the summer. It's probably my favorite season, although I do like all the seasons, with the exception of probably a very harsh winter or something like that. Anyway, but I digress. Let me get to your questions. Okay, I have an email here from Susan. Susan writes, love your podcasts and save them all. You and Dr. Hoffman are my gurus. That's very generous, Susan. Thank you for listening. I recently had to have a checkup prior to some minor surgery. I've long been a fan of probiotics, and in the last few months, tried the soil-based types. Doctor called me with results, everything being fine, except she saw odd bacteria in the urine analysis. I never had any reason to think infection, and curious if my somewhat experimental use of these probiotics may be the cause. I never did discuss my use of probiotics with her, or Superbeets, which had nitrites appearing in the urine as well. Nice to learn blood pressure was fine and beets working. I've always kept my supplements private, being married to a conventional surgeon who takes nothing. Many thanks for hours of enjoyment. Susan, yeah, we can't have everything, can we? But good for you for taking your supplements. Now, a few weeks ago, I did talk at length about the soil-based supplements, but one of the things I don't think I hit upon is that it is controversial, the use of soil-based probiotics, because there is a school of thought that says we no longer carry those critters that came from the soil. We're now living in cleaner environments and urban areas and so forth and so on, and we don't have backyard gardens and we're not growing our produce and all this other kind of thing. So the fact that what's contained in these soil-based probiotics are not necessarily what currently reside in our GI tract, whether it's the genus, whether it's the species, the strain, etc. I find it very interesting that you had a urine analysis that showed odd bacteria. It could be the probiotic. I mean, the probiotics will populate the entire GI tract. Some of this will migrate over, you know, next door, via the urinary tract, the bladder, all that. So it's interesting. Anyway, if you do have an infection, I'm sure you're following up with your doctor about all of that. But the other thing about the soil-based probiotics, I remember touching upon during that podcast, is that you want to make sure that they're, reputable. You know, and a reputable nutraceutical company, a reputable company is going to make sure that they're not only doing in-house testing, of their particular product. That's like the fox guarding the hen house, but maybe third-party testing and all of that. I know this is something Dr. Hoffman talks about in vetting his supplements. So, Susan, I thank you for your question, and that was really, really interesting. Thank you. All right. On to the next question. I've got an email here from Marianne. Dear Layla, hi, I love your show. Thank you, Marianne. Thank you for listening. I read that Poland Spring Water that we have delivered to our home and office has fluoride in it. So I looked for an alternative. I know that fluoride is terrible for the thyroid. I have water reports from two companies. How do I find out which is healthier? I don't know what to do. Well, Marianne, you bring up an excellent question. And it's also interesting because, you've probably, if you subscribe to the newsletter by now, you've read my article on water intake, how much water should we be actually taking in and how much do we actually get from food? These are all good questions. Now, bottled water is not regulated. Not really. Not well. And it can be fluoridated. Much of bottled water may come from the tap. And the thing I don't like about bottled water in particular is it's coming from plastic. Hey, and you know what? The new lingo is BPA free. You may see that on your new food storage containers or bottles or anything like that, BPA free. But guess what? They're replacing that BPA with, oh, I don't know, BPG, BPO, other types of this, the particular, toxin or carcinogen, bisphenol A being one, but there are other bisphenols that they're using instead of bisphenol A in these plastic products. So that's one problem. Number two, it's not great for the environment. What are we going to do with all this plastic? Ugh. Now, the note about thyroid, fluoride, and water fluoridation, a lot of our municipal water is fluoridated, as you know, as most of you know. That fluoride is not great for the thyroid because it displaces iodine. Thyroid needs iodine. Iodine is its food in order for it to produce thyroid hormones. T4, T4's conversion to T3, these are the thyroid hormones I'm talking about. Fluoride gets in the way of that. And you have to wonder, or at least I do we have so much low thyroid, or at least I see here in my practice, a lot of people coming down with hypothyroidism. Is it because of that displacement of iodine? Besides that, we don't get that much iodine. We do from seafood, but we have to be careful with our seafood, right? Because it's so contaminated, even the farm-raised stuff. And you've heard my previous podcast on farm-raised salmon, even the Scottish farm-raised salmon. The other thing is we have to, the other sources of iodine, onions, if you're eating any dairy products, a lot of dairy equipment is cleaned with iodine. So we're getting it that way. Iodized salt, things like that. However, you know, seaweeds, a little seaweed in your salad. And remember, taking more iodine than usual is not helpful in Hashimoto's, which is the autoimmune thyroiditis. So, fluoride in the water is a problem, but fluoride is also not great for bones. Maybe good for teeth and enamel, but there's fluorosis that impacts bones. It could make our bones more prone to fractures. So you also have to wonder about all the osteoporosis we have in American society. And you have to wonder how much does the fluoridization of our water, our municipal water systems, have to do with it. Now, Marianne, you sent me water reports from a couple of companies. And in looking over at these things, I think the most important things to pay attention to besides what they offer, they also offer fluoridated water, non-fluoridated water, fluoridated spring water, fluoridated purified water, purified water with minerals added. I would wonder about the source of those minerals. Spring water, distilled water. Everyone, please stay away from distilled water. That distilled water has no natural minerals at all. And when we drink it to excess, it's actually drawing the minerals from our own bodies, possibly causing deficiencies over time. Artesian water, artesian spring water, fluoridated artesian water. So what you want to look at is that they do use third-party services to make sure that they're meeting or exceeding all applicable water, bottled water standards for quality, for safety, at the federal level, at the state level. I'm not sure of all how much that is regulated because, you know, they don't want, they want to find that it's below, discernible, particulate standards or FDA standard of quality. And in these water reports, when you see that they're purified water, they're showing non-detectable amounts of inorganic chemicals like arsenic, barium, cadmium, chlorine, chloramine, lead, fluoride, thallium, all of these, and secondary inorganics like aluminum, copper, iron, manganese. These secondary inorganics I know are found in a lot of, in the aquifer. Those of you using well water, you want to be careful. Iron overload or manganese may be problematic. They also look at volatile organic compounds, VOC, ethyl benzenes, dichloroethylenes, carbon tetrachloride, xylenes, vinyl chloride, so many. And if they're finding that there are ND levels, non-detectable levels, this is a good report. So, having said all this, by the way, the water reports also looks at synthetic organic chemicals, additional regulated contaminants such as tetrachloroethane, methyl tertiary butyl ether. Wow. Radiological contaminants, gross alpha particle radioactivity. Wow. All of these things. Uranium, uranium, non-detectable, hopefully. And then water properties. I think one of the best things we can do is, first of all, getting away from bottled water. Secondly, making sure you're using a really good, water filtration system at home, a whole house water filtration system. I believe the best one still out there that does just about everything is the reverse osmosis. That may be it. I don't know if there are any new things coming out, but that is really the first thing I would look to do in your own home, Marianne, is to get, and a lot of these can be expensive, I know, but it's investment in your health to do so. And there may be maintenance required with a lot of these filtration systems, making sure that if there is a depot or a container that the water goes into that needs to be cleaned rapidly, that needs to be cleaned from time to time, make sure there's no mold or mildew growing there. All important things to look at. Best of luck in choosing your water, Marianne, and thank you for your email. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit because I'm on a little bit of a crusade this year to reduce food waste. How often do we go shopping? We're not going with a shopping list. We wind up possibly buying too many things, all for it then to eventually go to waste, especially perishables like produce. A lot of produce you can freeze. So, tips to reduce food waste. We want to reach, or FDA has said, FDA with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, they're trying to reach a national food waste reduction goal, and that is to reduce food waste by 50% by the year 2030. That's pretty ambitious, but you know, I think it can be done. So here are their tips. At the grocery store or when eating out, you want to write your list, write your shopping list before going to the store. And as you write your list, think about the meal plans you're going to be having that week or that month and what you'll be preparing for the following week. Always check your inventory, your pantry, your freezer, your fridge to see what items you already have. When you're at the store, buy only what you need. Stick with the list. You don't want to, you know, buy the stuff that you don't need, you shouldn't have. I'm talking about treats and stuff you don't want to indulge in too much. Be careful when buying in bulk, especially with items that have a limited shelf life. And if available, purchase the ugly or misshapen fruits and vegetables that often get left behind, but they're perfectly safe to eat. Ugly produce has physical imperfections, but they're not damaged or rotten. I'm not talking about, you know, the soft rot that starts to happen in your leafy greens. We're talking about that misshapen carrot. So these ugly fruits and vegetables are safe and nutritious and can sometimes be found at discounted prices. That's a boon to your pocketbook, right? Also, when eating out, ask for smaller portions to prevent plate waste and to prevent you from overeating. You know, the amount that we're served, this is in the scientific literature, the amount that we're served in a restaurant, we believe, consciously or unconsciously, that this is the amount we're supposed to be eating. And those of us who are members of the Clean Plate Club, the Clean Plate Club, you know, we're used to finishing our plates. We've been taught early on in our formative years that, you know, clean your plate. Or I remember being told, think of the children starving in Bangladesh. Anyway, I digress again. Or if you want to get your money's worth, certainly ask for a doggy bag. Take some of that home with you. Take a third of it or half of it home with you. Remember, in restaurants, we're being served on platters. These are often, their plates are way bigger than the plates we have at home. So request a takeaway box, and then you'll have leftovers for the next day. Now, in the kitchen to reduce your food waste, check the temperature setting of your refrigerator. It's a good idea to keep a thermometer in my fridge. I keep one in my fridge. Keep the temperature at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below so you keep your food safe. And the temperature of your freezer should be 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Check out a food keeper app. Go to drhoffman.com. Put in the search box food waste, and in my article, you'll find a link to the Food Keeper app for more information on how to safely store different foods and to maintain freshness and quality. Refrigerate peeled or cut veggies for freshness and to keep them from going bad. Use the freezer. We forget to use the freezer, and freezing is a great way to store most food to keep them from going bad until you're ready to eat them. Create a designated space in your fridge for foods that you think that will be going bad in a few days. How many of us look in the fridge and lo and behold, we'll find something that's been there for 10 days or long, but we didn't see it because it was buried way in the back. You need to really, really look around. So designate compartments of or areas of your fridge. You know, you want to do a good inventory system. You want to be able to eat the foods that you've prepared for yourself as soon as possible, within 3 days. If you have more than 3 days worth of leftovers, put it in the freezer. They'll last a couple of months. Eat or freeze items before you need to throw them away. If you have more food on hand than you can use or need, consider donating your extra supply of packaged foods to a local food pantry or food drive. That way, you also will be doing a good thing. You won't feel like you've wasted your money here buying too much food. Learn about food product date labels. Not all dates refer to the safety of the item. Date labels such as use by or best by often refer to the best quality of an item. Just because the date on a package has passed does not mean the food is unsafe. However, If an item is soft, discolored, moldy, has an unpleasant smell, it is not safe. Don't bother tasting it even. Throw it away. And at home, use ugly fruits or vegetables to whip up healthy smoothies and soups for your friends and family. Nobody will know the difference. Be creative and have fun. Create new dishes and snacks with leftovers or items you think will go bad if not eaten soon. Have a cook-off to find out who can come up with the best dish. Follow the 2-hour rule. This is important. For safety reasons, don't leave perishables out at room temperature for more than 2 hours unless you're keeping it hot or cold. If the temperature is above 90 degrees Fahrenheit, food shouldn't be left out for more than an hour. Also, remember to refrigerate leftovers within 2 hours. Use serving size information on the nutrition facts label to help you portion your meals or snacks. You can always add more to your plate after finishing off the first helping. Preparing too much food for a party or at home? Pack extras in containers for guests to take home. Let them take home the leftovers or bring some over to a neighbor as a nice gesture. Have a friendly competition with your friends or family members to see who can go the longest without any food waste. This is all good advice from the FDA on their national goal of reducing food waste by the year 2030. Thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. I'll talk to you again soon.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.